Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology. Personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Hello, everybody. Greetings from Central Florida. I have not been washed away. We've had a lot of rain here over the past couple of weeks, but we're still here. I am starting to look for some animals heading two by two to a large wooden structure, but none yet. We're here today ending eschatology. We've been talking about Pauline eschatology here for the last few shows, and today we may end up, at least our current discussion, on that subject. I want to take a look at JeffreyDardy.com, ChristianWhistleblower.com. I've made a good addition, I think, to the written words of Jeffrey Dardy, the WWJD tab. It's an article that says how gun control in the U.S. could actually work. Here's how it could be done without starting a war. So you might want to take a look at that. Our folks in the U.K. might find that of particular interest. Because obviously, you know, that's a subject that you are somewhat leading the way on. And that's a very interesting article, I think, that for you to check out there. And we also have some very interesting stuff that I've added under the JD Daily tab. The pot debate, not about getting high. I don't smoke pot. I don't smoke marijuana. I am not a partaker. But the pot debate is not about getting high, not to me. It is about getting off pharmaceutical poisons that benefit no one but the big drug companies. It is about using the hemp plant to save our resources and save money, too. The hemp plant is one of the most versatile and useful plants on the planet, and if we were able to use hemp, we could save millions and millions of trees in the production of paper and many of our other natural resources in regards to the way they're being used now. So the pot debate's not about getting high. It's about getting off pharmaceutical poisons that benefit no one but the big drug companies. It's not about getting high. It's about using the hemp plant to save our national resources and money, too. It's not about getting high. It's about emptying our prisons in the United States, persons that do not belong there. We are being lied to about this issue here in the United States. I am not a pop smoker or a pot smoker, either one, but I am an advocate for the legalization of pot and hemp. As succinctly stated, you could say I'm for the legalization of marijuana, but I am not for its recreational use. So there you have it. That's JD Daily on the website. You might want to take a look at that. And then, of course, the ever-popular Unindoctrinate Daily, formerly Religion Watch Daily. We brought in the perspective a bit, and we're now calling it Unindoctrinate Daily. So it's a daily collection of news items from around the net. Encourage you to use the contact us button to submit items yourself. Like this one, an Arizona man says he beheaded his wife to get the evil out. Arizona man admits to decapitating his wife and her two dogs in a bloody incident last month in Phoenix. He told authorities he was at the evil out of her. Here's an interesting one. I don't know what category to put this in. It says, why do so many women show off cleavage in church? And the first thing that comes to my mind is, why ask why, but I probably shouldn't say that. A Christian couple plans to spread a huge and, at least in the opinion of the writer of this article, very unchristian project across the U.S. 2 years after they rejected a same-sex couple from their wedding venue, this couple is back with a billboard campaign. Astrology is bunk, says this article, but here's six ways your date of birth can affect who you are. Am I the only one that finds that a little bit contradictory? Science is looking into the way our birthdays impact our personalities. We have the left and right all wrong. This is not for the babies. This is actually a thoughtful, rather long article. The real story of politics of nostalgia and tradition. And the top eight rock and roll death conspiracies in our culture section. Interesting stuff from bonkers to believable. These stories offer hidden insights into the secrets behind our favorite rock stars' deaths. And last but not least, a right-wing group seeks help rewriting the Bible because it's not conservative enough. The King James Bible and more recent translations are veritable primers of progressive agitprop. I think that must be a word I don't know or a misspelling in the article. But anyway, these folks think that the Bible's not conservative enough, so they're calling for rewriting it. And here's an interesting article for you Americans, how one nation did not become under God until the 1950s revival. The words under God in the Pledge of Allegiance and the phrase in God we trust on the back of our coinage and dollar bills haven't been there as long as most Americans might think. So take a look at those issues, those stories on Religion Watch Daily now, Unindoctrinate Daily. And as we get back to talking about Paul and ending eschatology, we found out how Paul actually was a man of sin that led a departure, and that he was actually the literal son of perdition, the son of destruction, or the son of the destroyer. Father was Rome. Rome was a destroyer. Paul's spiritual father was the Lord. The Lord was also a destroyer, identified by Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23, as the destroyer of the original paradise earth. And we also showed you and proved to you that the Lord, at least in the opinion of Yeshua, was the Jesus of the Damascus Road, the one that birthed Paul literally on multiple branches of his family tree. Paul was the son of perdition, the son of Rome, very literally, and the son of the temple that was killing many early believers, and also the son of the Lord. So very, very interesting. Very, very apropos and helping to end eschatology. The eschatology is finished as a legitimate scholarly study. Just from what we've talked about, and of course, the more we get this information out, the more ability we'll be able to, bring to bear to actually get it completely, totally done away with as a legitimate scholarly exercise. Yeshua said in John 8:44, "You're of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. There is no truth in him. He speaks a lie. He speaks on his own, for he is the liar and the father of liars." Clear references back to the Lord. The Lord indeed was the father of the lie. The devil is really just the adversary. That's the correct word. That's the word that Yeshua identified the Lord on the road to Damascus with, was the adversary. He was a murderer from the beginning. Literally, he was the first murderer, and that's exactly 100% true of the Lord when he destroyed and murdered the peoples that populated the paradise pre-Adamite earth. He did not stay in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, this is Yeshua saying, you know how the Lord lies? His lips are moving. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own, for he is the liar and the father of it. not Satan, not some guy in a red suit, pitchfork, pointy tail, horns, but the Lord himself. Now we're going to continue on with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 4 says that this man of sin, this son of perdition, this son of destruction, this person that we've identified as the Apostle Paul, the so-called Apostle Paul, this person that we've identified as the so-called Apostle Paul, opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or worshiped. That's the King James diversion, or version, if you will, translation. Literally, the original Greek says, the one who puts himself in opposition. The one who puts himself in opposition. Paul was in opposition to the original Yeshua message. The Lord was in opposition to the Elohim. Paul is in opposition to the apostles of Yeshua. So this is applicable on a first pass basis, if you will, of Paul. Paul was the son of perdition. Paul did lead an apostasy. Paul is the son of death and destruction. And Paul did put himself in opposition to the apostles of Yeshua and the original Yeshua movement. This cannot be logically argued against. And it also says that he puts himself in opposition, lifting himself up in arrogance. Perfect and very fitting description of Paul. The apostles repeatedly called him arrogant in the New Testament. And it also says that he has put himself in opposition, lifting himself up in arrogance above every other argument or word of persuasion divine. Think of that. He put oneself in opposition. He lifted oneself up in arrogance above every other argument about the divine. Folks, that is 100% exactly what the Apostle Paul did in first century Judea. He lifted himself, he put himself in opposition to the Yeshua movement. He lifted himself up in arrogance, and he set himself above every other argument or word of persuasion about the divine. And not just, I want you to know, see, and realize, not just the Yeshua movement, but he put himself above any object of worship. And Paul launched a war on paganism, which he masked as a war on legalism. When you read about Paul, and here's a little homework for you, telling people, chiding people for going back to days, months, and years, in the book of Galatians, we're taught over and over and over that Paul was talking about believers going back to Jewish holy days and going back to Jewish legalism. Paul wrote in Galatians and warned the Galatians about falling back into Jewish legalism. That's what we're taught. Only one problem about that. The Galatians, look them up on the internet and find out who the Galatians were. They were Celts. The Galatians were Celts that had moved into the area. They had never been Jews. They were not Jews. They had no history of Judaism. So whatever the Celts were falling back into could not have been Jewish legalism. Paul knew it wasn't Jewish legalism. They were turning back to the days, the months, the seasons, the Moad that the Elohim had created and set forth in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And Paul was lifting himself up in arrogance over any object of worship. Paul was waging a war on paganism, masked as a war on legalism, in order to keep people away from going back to the religion of the Elohim, because they were fleeing Paul's doctrine in droves. Well, he was growing fat. He was growing, but many people had weighed Paul in the scales they'd been found wanting. Thus, Paul's smear of the Galatians as Jewish legalists when they'd never been Jews and they could not possibly fall back into Jewish legalism. So Paul putting himself, lifting himself above every object of worship. And then the text says that so he is God, sits himself in the temple of God. Yes, obviously a future Antichrist and a future temple with a blown up Dome of the Rock and a red heifer and blah, 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 literally rendered. He puts himself in the place of God, claiming the powers of God. Paul did that clearly. No need to create future fantasy when we have historical reality. Put it all together, folks. Putting oneself in opposition, lifting oneself up in arrogance above every other argument about the divine and every object of worship, so as to put oneself in the place of God and claim the powers of God. That's the direct, literal rendering of the passage. That's why I tell you to get rid of the King James Version. That's why I wrote the Diamond New Testament. Get the book if you're in the United States. If you're in the UK, it's a little bit expensive to ship over there. Get the ebook. That's cheap to ship over there. They're on our shop on jeffreydougherty.com. And you know what? I'm no longer going to apologize for encouraging you to get a hold of these products that I create, because they're not created just to create a profit. They are created to change your life and empower you with information that you never had before and that the powers that be don't want you to have now. There is no other version of the New Testament that is written in its proper chronological order. There is no other version of the New Testament that removes the writings of the Apostle Paul. There is no other version of the New Testament that does all that and restores the original name of Yeshua and gets rid of Jesus. Nothing else exists. It's worth the $5, $10, $12, whatever it is. And if you don't get it, shame on you. You should have it. Clearly, Paul put himself in opposition. Clearly, Paul lifted himself up in arrogance. Clearly, Paul put himself above every other argument about the divine or any other object of worship. Clearly, Paul put himself in the place of God and claimed the powers of God. Paul clearly did it all. No need for a future boogeyman. The boogeyman's created so you don't realize that Paul was the first Antichrist, the first person against Christ, as Thomas Jefferson said many years ago, and as I repeat as often as I can. All right, let's continue to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as we finish up the Fresh Daily show for today. Of course, brought to you by Fresh Daily Co., gourmet coffee and skateboarding. And we're also going to be bringing out a new magazine, going to be called, I think, Unindoctrinate Yourself. We're going to be bringing that out mid-September. Also, we have on our shop all of our books, and we also have great apparel. The Chakra Mantra, we're also going to be putting that on a poster. These are things you need to get a hold of because they will change your life. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12, talks about something that's called the mystery of iniquity. Open to so much discussion and debate, but we're going to make it perfectly clear what it is today because we are ending eschatology. Verse 6 through 12, it starts off saying, now you know. So when Paul wrote this early in the first century, this was actually written in 53 AD or AD 53, however you prefer to say it, 2 Thessalonians AD 53, third book written in the New Testament. No, it wasn't Luke, it was 2 Thessalonians. I'm also preparing another ebook called The New Testament Scramble. Identifies shows, and we probably ought to compile it into the Diamond New Testament. Maybe we'll make the Diamond New Testament and the New Testament Scramble a composite volume for print, and we'll have them separate for ebooks. I think that's what we'll do. But you need to get a hold of them. The New Testament Scramble, I'm finishing up by the latest this month. Now you know, but they knew then in 53 AD, they knew what Paul was talking about. They could tell what he meant. Now you know, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 2:6. Now you know. They knew then. Now you know what withholdeth, is what it says in the King James diversion. But literally, now you know what is holding back. Now you know what is holding back. So, of course, we want to start asking, well, what's holding back? It's withholdeth in the King James diversion. Literally, what is holding it back? You guys know what is holding it back. Holding back what? Stay with the text. Holding back what we just read about. Paul's exaltation of himself. Paul's exaltation of his programs above all else that is worshipped. Paul's exaltation of his doctrine over all other beliefs. Paul's great war on paganism. This is what was being held back. Paul says, here's my agenda. You know what's holding my agenda back. So let me ask you, what was holding Paul's agenda back? The apostles and the original Yeshua movement were holding back Paul's rise to power. Now I ask you today, what's holding back Paul's message? You and me, brother, you and me, sister, we are the only things holding this back. I'm the only one preaching this message, teaching this message, spreading this message with any sizable platform, so to speak of. And I need you to help me do it because we're the only ones doing it. We are not the best at what we do. We're the only ones that do what we do. I need your help helping me to do it. We're the only thing holding back the message of Paul today. You and me, we are the only thing holding it back. Help me do it. Verse 7, we start going into the mystery of iniquity. Paul says the mystery of iniquity is already working. That's in the King James Version. What it really says, literally, is the hidden parts of the gospel message are already working. Paul was saying that his message was more true. His message was more deep. His gospel was more of a gospel, and it was already in AD 53 coming into its working and being. Only disobedience and lawlessness are holding it back right now for the present. Paul's saying, look, here's my agenda. You know what's holding it back. Hidden parts of the gospel message that I'm trying to bring are already being brought out, but there's disobedience and lawlessness that are keeping it back for the present. Again, what was holding back and restraining Paul's gospel? The apostles of Yeshua in the original message. And Paul calls the doctrines of Yeshua, Paul calls the apostles of Yeshua lawlessness. He calls them disobedience. He calls them iniquity. And here's where it really gets nasty. He says, and they'll only continue to hold back until they are taken out of the way. Paul says the apostles of Yeshua, Paul says the original Yeshua movement, it's holding me back right now. It's holding the spread and the development of the true gospel message, which I myself, Paul says, have brought forth. They're holding it back, but they're going to be taken out of the way. Paul said that the apostles and their followers were going to be removed. He said this in AD 50. Paul knew in AD 53 that Jerusalem was about to be destroyed, and it was 17 years later by the Romans. And when that wicked shall be uncovered, Paul says, when the apostles of Yeshua, who he calls wicked, are uncovered and brought to light. Can you imagine that? And then he warns that plastic Jesus is going to come back. Plastic Jesus is going to come back and destroy and be a nasty guy. Verses 9 through 10, whose coming is a working of Satan. Paul came to us on the Damascus Road when he met Jesus. Yeshua called this Jesus Satan or an adversary in Luke 10, 18, and 19. So Paul literally came to us in a working of Satan or a working of the adversary. Paul did all manner of signs and wonders. He was a deceiver and did not love the truth. Luke, who wrote these passages, perfectly gave us a prophecy descriptive of Paul. Folks, this is deep. This is wide. This is true. This is good stuff. And you need to grab in, grab on, get in, and hang on, because it only gets deeper and faster and truer from here. That's ending eschatology for today. It looks like I got another day of this to go through. Maybe not. Maybe just another little bit. We'll finish up on our next show and then go into our next topic. But eschatology is finished as a legitimate, real, scholarly advance. And until next time, listen to Cliff. He'll tell you where to get a hold of me. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, Christian Whistleblower, encouraging you to unindoctrinate yourself.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show. And on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit ChristianWhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.